quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula which includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients, including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Hi, I'm Michelle, a mother of two teens. 13 years ago, I traded in punishments and rewards for connection. Now I prioritize relationship over behaviors, utilize play as a parenting tool, and set limits with empathy instead of consequences. Each week, I share my journey and interview clients, experts, and followers. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle, and I'm so glad you're here. I want to read a little review from Apple from a listener. She says, I've been really trying to learn about parenting as I struggle to parent my three kids without yelling. Michelle's insights are helping me so much to navigate what I need to heal in me to be more present, empathic, and calm for my kids. I never wanted to be the yelling mom. And as my kids get older, I see myself yelling way too much. And it's so disheartening. I'm learning every day and seeing the difference. The podcast helps me when I feel like I need to reset. There's always something here to fit the struggle I'm dealing with. And it helps me find my calm to figure out what to do. That's so sweet. Thank you. You know, I think part of this work, and I think you say it well here, my sweet listener, is that the work is inside of us, and that's the hardest piece. So good for you for doing that work, and for all you great parents out there trying to do this work. I know it's not easy. All right. I haven't done an episode on siblings in a while, and so I thought I would do an episode on siblings. So let's get started. Sibling relationships are complicated. We all have probably most of us, unless we're an only child, have sibling relationships. So the first part is that we bring our sibling relationship, the one that we had in our nuclear family, we bring that relationship into our parenting. And we have some preconceived ideas about what sibling relationships look like, what parent intervention looks like, what the oldest is, you know, looks like, what the youngest looks like. And so we have this like already existing framework of sibling relationships when we come into our parenting. I know I really did. I was considered the villain. My sister was the victim. I was always in trouble. She was always protected. There was that dynamic that always existed. I was always meant to fix it because I was the oldest. I was meant to be more mature, all of the things. And my sister and I had a very tumultuous relationship in our younger years, and it took us a long time to become friends, a very, very long time, and a lot of therapy. And so when I came to parenting, my biggest fear, here I am, a sister, right? And I get two girls, I have the sisters. And so, of course, it starts to ping me, right? Trigger. I like to say ping, right? Just like pings that button for me. Ooh, the sibling relationship, they're fighting. Oh my gosh, they're going to end up like me and my sister. Oh my gosh, I see my oldest being mean like I was mean to my sister. She's going to end up being the bully. So I brought that experience into parenting. So first you have to think about what are you bringing to your sibling relationship? What is it inside of you? Where are your triggers, and where is that altering the way in which you interact with your kids because you're jaded from your own experience? And can you get in there and really understand that your children are not you and your siblings. Your children are your children, and they have a totally different experience. And if we bring too much of our jaded experience into our parenting, are we doing them a disservice? So that's the first piece that I think is really important to kind of analyze and try not to use your old ideas around parent-sibling relationships to parent your own siblings. Now, the second piece is that children in general do better in general in all of their relationships and all of their endeavors and all their experiences in life. They just do better when they feel more connected to their caretakers. Why? Because their prefrontal cortex is more engaged. They can think better. They can make better decisions. And if you feel better in general, and if you feel good when you have a deep bonded connection with your parent, you feel good, right? You feel secure. Like that's why they call it the secure attachment. You feel secure in that relationship. So if you feel secure in that relationship and your brain is more online, then you're going to make better decisions and you're in within your interactions with other people at school, with your own parents, with your extended family, with your friends, and of course, with your siblings. So each time you fortify the relationship you share with child A or child B or child C, you're also fortifying the relationships between child A and B, between child A and C, between child B and C. You're making their relationships better because your relationship is better. If your relationship is tattered, the connection is low, things aren't going well, your child doesn't do well. And of course, when they're not doing well, they're going to, depending on temperament, right? They're going to take it out on their sibling, or they're going to become the victim because they're going to withdraw, or who knows what because of their temperament, but it's going to wreak havoc. So having that fortified relationship, that bonded, connected relationship with each of your children helps the siblings. So each time you do special time, when you lead with empathy, when you come with play, you use the connection tools, your child does better. And when your child does better, then they also do better with their siblings because they're thinking better. They can compromise. They can share. They have more bandwidth. If they're coming with a full connection cup, then they're able to navigate the difficulties of relationships because they're feeling full and good. Does that make sense? If they come empty, without connection, in a tattered relationship where they're feeling uneasy about the connection that they share with their parent, that uneasiness wreaks havoc everywhere, right? It wreaks havoc in that sibling relationship too, because the child isn't doing well. And if they're not doing well, they're certainly not going to do well with their sibling. And I find that kids really take out their feelings, their dysregulation, their inability to be calm. They take out their frustrations, basically, on the people that they love the most, on the people who are closest to them. Why? Because they know those people are going to love them anyway. They're not fearful that those people will leave them. They're not fearful that those people will discard them. And that's most especially true of siblings, right? So if a child isn't doing well, one of the first places I would believe that they would take out their frustration is on their parents and their siblings, on their family. That's what we do, right? If we're having a hard time, we take it out on our sibling. We take it out on our spouse. We take it out on our close friends because they'll love us unconditionally. They'll love us no matter what. And so we end up taking out that dysregulation or that uneasiness or that difficulty managing our life. We take it out on the people around them. So if we look at sibling relationships in that way, then we can't really succumb to these ideas that your child is being mean on purpose to their sibling. They're antagonizing them on purpose. They might be antagonizing them. They might be chiding them, but there's a reason they're chiding them. And mostly those reasons come back to disconnection. So when we get the connection beefed up, when we get the connection flowing, then the sibling relationship starts to mend itself on its own. We're taking a break to hear from our sponsor so I can bring this podcast to you free of charge. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice to text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used mylifeinabook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before my period. I always used to feel like I was walking in quicksand and craving the most unhealthy of foods. My sleep was always off and my moods were unpredictable. Now it's easier to manage PMS with EstroControl. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 14,000 reviews of Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off the entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code PEACE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PEACE for 15% off today. Let's dive back in. So that's one piece, or actually three pieces, really. Three pieces of the one piece. That's one overarching idea. Right. Then the second overarching idea is that we often intervene with correction, punishment, belittlement, shame, because when we see one child hurt the other child in physical ways and in emotional ways, we get pinged, right? It stings, it hurts. It might hurt and go all the way back to a childhood wound. Or it might just hurt because these are our babies and they're hurting each other and we don't like our babies to hurt each other. So stop. Stop hitting your sister. You can't do that. Look what you did to her. Oh my gosh. Look, she's crying now. You made her cry. How could you do that? You love your sister. She's the best thing in your life. I would say these things. But did they help? Didn't my daughter know she was doing something unkind? Didn't she know that she was hitting her sister or pushing her or being a... Of course she did. Kids are not dumb. They do not think that pushing and biting and kicking and hitting and teasing and annoying is right. They do not think that is right, but they're not doing well. And when we have those kids that are the botherer, right? I was the botherer. My Esme is the botherer. We want to shut it down. Stop doing it. Just stop. But it's not that easy. You can't just say stop. You can't just reprimand. You can't just teach them. You can't just tell them. You can't just correct them. That is not going to work, most especially for these strong-willed, sensitive, sweet kids. It doesn't work for the not strong-willed, sensitive, sweet kid either, because that might just shut them down into people-pleasing, might shut them down into, you know, not knowing who they are or what they are or how to express themselves or how to assert themselves. So it doesn't work for anybody. But the problem is that these kids who are more overtly aggressive or outwardly aggressive, they're tough because we want it to stop. But we can get it to stop in a different way. We can get it to stop by intervening neutrally. You do not have to come in and say, don't hit your brother. Hitting is unacceptable. Aggression is unacceptable. We don't do that in our house. This is a hard line for me. And I am not going to stand for you to be, I'm a conscious parent, but if my kids are hitting, that's it. There's a consequence. There's a punishment. Well, that won't work. I promise you it won't, because it doesn't address the underlying resentment and anger. And in fact, it exacerbates the underlying resentment, disconnection, and anger. Because it tells the child who did the aggression, you're wrong and your brother, sister is right. And I'm on their side and I'm not on your side. And so now how does the aggressor respond the next time they have an interaction with their brother or sister. They're even more angry. Now you got me in trouble. Now I'm on the naughty list. Now mommy and daddy really don't like me. So I'm going to go for it. I'm going to really be mean. I'm going to find a way next time to get you worse. What does that do? That just creates this cycle of uncontrollable tit for tat. And then the victim, the not aggressor, they like to sit in that victim role because it gets them the reassurance that their relationship is solid with us. So they might chide the aggressor, the villain, so that they make sure they are cemented in their role as the victim because they like that role. That makes them feel secure. Ah, mommy and daddy are on my side. They like me. My attachment is secure. But they do it at a cost, right? Because they become the victim. Do we want them to be the victim and think of themselves as the victim? And are we allowing them to be victimized because we're always placing the other child as the villain? And are we creating this duplicity in our family unknowingly, right? Because we just want it to stop. But you can't get it to stop like that. How you can get it to stop is intervening neutrally. What happened here? You guys are having a hard time. Child A, what's going on? It was mean to me, so I pushed him, and he's always mean. Oh my goodness. He's mean to you. I understand. You pushed him. You guys are really struggling. Notice, I don't say don't push him. You can't push him. He knows he's not supposed to push him. I don't need to call it out. Just empathize. I empathize with his feelings. Oh, you're having a hard time. Oh, you pushed him. Oh, he chided you. Oh, he called you something. I understand. The next child, yes. Oh, he did that. Ah, man, this is really hard, guys. This is tough. We're having a hard time here. What can we do? Now, depending on age and stage and all these things, this changes, right? Sometimes we can say, what can we do with the 1 and the 2-year-old? Maybe not. But we can still come in and listen and be empathic. We can still intervene with neutrality. We get them to conflict resolution. Like, what's going on? How can we fix this? How can we do this better next time? Now, there's many, many nuances, you know, we could get into, and this could be like a whole hour discussion. You know, what if they don't stop? What if they're too excited? There's lots of different steps you can take. You know, can you wait to have the conversation until later? Can you adjust this for kids who are older? And what about kids who are younger? Is your intervention more or is it less depending on the age? Of course, all those things change. The other piece is too, is do you let them duke it out? I heard this piece a lot. Like, well, I just let them figure it out. Well, heck no, we're not letting them figure it out because guess who's going to win? The stronger, bigger kid's going to win, right? And the littler kid is going to lose. And that's not good either. And maybe it isn't always the little or bigger. It could be just the verbally stronger child or the more aggressive, verbally aggressive kid or the more outgoing kid. It could be, but one person will win and the other will lose. We don't want a winner and a loser. We don't want them to fight. So we come in and we make sure we are intervening with them. We don't let them duke it out. We don't even let it get too excited. We get in there immediately, soon as we hear anything. This is not permissive parenting. It's very active parenting. I'm so sick of everyone saying it's permissive. Just let them do whatever they want. I'm sure this nobody I'm talking to on this podcast says that, but I hear it all the time on stupid social media. The trolls, the trolls. It's permissive. You don't parent. You don't do anything. Like, wait, I don't do anything, but do so much. It's just not the things that you think I should do. It's not the punishment. It's not the intervening with the, you know, who's wrong and who's right. It's not the correction. That to me is not parenting and actually is lazy parenting. When we just come in and say, stop, that's lazy. That doesn't work. That's not thinking about people in a deeper, meaningful way, right? So let's say you had friends who were fighting. Would you just come into them and say, stop, guys? Girl, stop. You just have to stop. Or would you sit and try to think about what's happening here? Oh, she's mad because she talked to the boyfriend and the boyfriend was flirting with her. Oh boy, yeah, we got a thing here. We got something going on. We try to get to the deeper meaning, but why with children we just say, stop, stop doing it? Maybe because it happens again and again and again and again, we get sick of it. We're just like, stop. But if you take on these ideas of connecting with each of your children, not coming in with, you know, punitive measures, not coming in with correction and coming in with connection. Instead, the connection piece is the empathy piece, right? And helping them problem solve, then they will decrease their fighting. Will it happen overnight? No. Will it happen all the time? No. But it will happen over time, and it will happen more often that they can get through it. Now my girls can argue a bit more and get to the bottom of things better, right? On their own a little bit. I would stay kind of like in the shadows, you know, like, uh-oh, here I am. Because they're 18 and 15. And so I'm like, I'm here in case I need to jump in. But they can usually get to it without just being jerks to one another, because we've done it 3 million times. I've come in and intervened. I've shown them how to do it. I've walked them through it. She doesn't like that. Okay, Esme, tell her you don't like that. Okay, Pia, you heard her. So she said she didn't like that. What's your response? Like, I've helped scaffold them, right? I've helped really get in there with them. This is not permissive parenting, once again. It takes work and time and effort. But guess what? Now I don't have to really intervene. They can do it on their own. And we've taught them an important lesson. We've taught them how to resolve conflict in a peaceful way. In a way where I can say my piece, I can say I'm upset about this, but I can also hear my person, my sibling in this case, it could be a partner, could be a friend, could be anyone. And it's a better way to quote unquote fight. It's a better way to have conflict. It's not a place where you just, you know, scream and yell at one another. And so I think if you can put these ideas together, the idea of your own childhood, the idea of filling up the kid's cup, the idea of intervening with neutrality. If you could put all of that together, you will have siblings that get along better. But it's an onion, right? And we can't just do one little piece of all this. We kind of have to do it all, fortunately, because we're growing a relationship and we're growing their relationship. So we've got, you know, if you have two kids, you've got your relationship with each of your kids and then their relationship with each other. If you've got three, then you've got a whole nother, you know, realm. Then you've got each of their relationships with one another and your relationship with your third. And if you have four, then so on and so forth. So of course it's complicated and it takes effort. The more kids you have, the more effort it takes. Unfortunately, or fortunately, this is what we signed up for, right? We brought them into this world. We want them to get along. So how can we do that? All right. I hope this was helpful. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting Podcast, and I hope you get some insights into how to help your siblings.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.